morning, church family. Great morning to you. If it isn't yet, I hope it will be. But anyways, if it isn't and we're done by noon, then it'll be afternoon and you can just move on. Kidding. My name is Todd. I have the privilege of serving Emmanuel on the elders part of the leadership team. And this morning I had the great privilege and honor of bringing the Word of God and going through it. But I do want to introduce my brother, my friend, my Korean pastor friend, David Lee. Some of you have met him already. He and his family have been a part of our church family for a little while now. I've asked David to come and read the passage of Scripture for us. And so we'll have it on the screen and also to pray. So welcome, David. Please come.
Thank you, Tom. Let's read the Scripture. I read the scripture in Korean language, and you can see there in English it's on screen, right?
Yeah.
Yep, perfect. 너희가 다 믿음으로 말미암아 그리스도 예수 안에서 하나님의 아들이 되었으니 누구든지 그리스도와 합하기 위하여 세례를 받은 자는 그리스도로 옷 입었느니라. 너희는 유대인이나 헬라인이냐 종이나 자유인이나 남자나 여자나 다 그리스도 예수 안에서 하나이니라. 너희가 그리스도의 것이면 곧 아브라함의 자손이요 약속대로 유업을 이을 자니라. 내가 또 말하노니 유업을 이을 자가 모든 것의 주인이나 어렸을 동안에는 종과 다름이 없어서 그 아버지가 정한 때까지 후견인과 청지기 아래에 있나니 이와 같이 우리도 어렸을 때에 이 세상의 초등학문 아래에 있어서 종노릇 하였더니 때가 참에 하나님이 그 아들을 보내사 여자에게서 나게 하시고 율법 아래에 나게 하신 것은 율법 아래에 있는 자들을 속량하시고 우리로 아들의 명분을 얻게 하려 하십니다. 너희가 아들이므로 하나님이 그 아들의 영을 우리 마음 가운데 보내사 아빠 아버지라 부르게 하셨느니라. 그러므로 내가 이후로는 종이 아니요 아들이니 아들이면 하나님으로 말미암아 유업을 받을 자니라. 아멘.
I pray in English. I pray in Korean language at first, and after that, I pray in English. Yeah. Let's pray.
하나님, 예수 그리스도를 믿음으로 저희 모두를 하나님의 아들들로 삼아주신 은혜에 감사를 드립니다. 저희들이 인종이 다르고 문화와 전통이 다르다 할지라도 예수 그리스도 안에서 하나 되게 하시고 또한 하나님의 유업을 이을 자들로 삼아주셔서 감사를 드립니다. 오늘 임마누엘 교회에서 저희들이 함께 모여 하나님의 이름을 높이며 찬양하며 예배를 드리는 것에는 하나님의 놀라운 계획과 섭리가 있다 확신합니다. 오순절 마가의 다락방에 모인 여러 사람들에게서 성령께서 임하셨듯이 임마누엘 교회가 초대 교회와 같은 성령의 역사하심, 복음의 능력이 나타나기를 원합니다. 임마누엘 교회가 빛과 같이 하나님의 영광을 밝히 드러내는 교회가 되게 하여 주옵소서. 말씀을 전하시는 토드 목사님에게 주 성령께서 함께 하셔서 저희들의 속심령이 감동받는 귀한 시간이 되게 하여 주옵소서. 예수 그리스도의 이름으로 기도합니다. 아멘.
God, we thank you for the grace that has made us all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you for making us one in Jesus Christ. Even though we are of different races, cultures, and traditions, and for making us inheritors of God's legacy. I'm certain that God has an amazing plan and providence for us to gather together at Emmanuel Church today to praise and worship God's name. Just as the Holy Spirit descended upon the different people gathered in Mark's upper room on the day of Pentecost, We hope that Emmanuel Church will show the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel like the early church. Please let Emmanuel Church shine like light to reveal the glory of God. May the Holy Spirit be with Pastor Torg, who is preaching the word, and may it be a precious time for our hearts to be moved. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, my friend, my Christian brother. Thank you for leading us into the Word of God, which will bring us life through the Holy Spirit. But even more, thank you for being willing to stand up and take a risk and be up here. It is not easy, and I don't find it easy in the language of English. I can't imagine doing it in a language that is not common to me. So thank you. I appreciate that very much. This morning, if you have your Bibles, keep them to Galatians chapter 3, and we will go through it a little bit. But I want to bring up our vision. And if you've been here over the last month or so, you've seen this or you've heard it. This may be new to you today, and we're going through it. Pastor Kyle started it last week, and we're going to continue through our time today. But it's simply this: Emmanuel is a church where you belong, joining with God to open doors and bring the hope of Jesus as he makes all things new. Let me tell you this right off the bat. This is God's vision for our church. Vision is simply a preferred future that God has for us. This is where God is going to take us. This is where God is taking us. Emmanuel is a church where you belong, joining with God to open doors and bringing the hope of Jesus as he makes all things new. As we accomplish this vision, as the Lord leads us to accomplish this vision, we'll actually accomplish our mission. Do you know what our mission is? I know it's set up here. I know sometimes it's on the bulletin that you have here. Our mission is we exist to lead people to be passionate followers of Jesus. And Kyle began this last week, and he actually started at the back end, if you recall, and he started with God bringing the hope of Jesus as he makes all things new. Well, we're going to now flip it, and we're going to go to the front end. So if you like starting with the back in a book, you would have enjoyed last week. If you like starting with the front of the book, hopefully you'll enjoy this week as well, as God leads in his vision to us. Let me ask you this. Is Emmanuel for you a place where you belong? Think about that for a second. Is Emmanuel a place where you feel you belong? Because our vision states this: we are a church where you belong. I have something that happened just incredibly wonderful the last month, and I have a picture for you here. No, Karen and I did not have another baby. That would have been amazing. Although I am told that this baby does look a little bit like his grandpa. This is a month ago. Delaney and Luke had a baby boy, and his name is Leroy. And so we are very blessed to welcome Leroy into this world. All God's doing and mom and dad's doing, and it's fantastic. Now, when you welcome a baby into the world, often you want to greet them. You want them to feel like they belong, don't you? We do. Part of that is by giving them a name, and sometimes we give them a name that's us. Part of it, which it really has little to do with us, is they get our genetics, and so we get, maybe that's a bit of a laugh later on for you. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a little bit of a tear for you as you figure out you have the genetics of your parents. But what do you think we should give a baby? Like, so help me out here for a second, okay? Because we're in the middle of having showers for new mom showers, and it's for baby Leroy. And I'm thinking, what do we get baby Leroy? So help me out. What do I buy a grandson? You can tell me, what do I buy a grandson? And you can see a picture of him. So what do you think Leroy would need?
A dog.
A dog, that's so good. You know what, he's got one already, which is fantastic. What else? Some of you are grandparents. What do you buy? How do you show love to your grandkids?
Well,
books, what else? Go ahead.
A baby swing.
A baby swing, that's good. Oh, I like that. What else? What else? Come on. Like, you met me. I'm not very good at being creative and buying gifts.
A car seat.
You know, some of us are very practical in gift giving. Absolutely. Karen, my wife, said, Todd, let's make a baby room. So we have a room, and I don't have a picture of the room, but we have a room basically dedicated to one child. It's fantastic. This is Leroy. 25 years ago today, my second child was born, Macaulay. 25 years, it's her birthday today. That's so awesome. When I see Leroy, sometimes and newborn Leroy, I think of my own children that God has blessed me with. And so 25 years ago, when my daughter Macaulay was born, I thought, you know what? I want to welcome you to the family, so I'm going to go get you something. This is what I bought her. Do you know what this is? A snow shovel. When God blessed Karen and I with Macaulay, we lived in a place called Smithers. Smithers usually gets snow at the end of October. When Macaulay came and Karen was resting, I thought, you know what? What a better way to go and do something and celebrate the birth of my daughter than buying a snow shovel. This is the exact snow shovel I bought. It's 25 years old. What would you have done? What do you buy for your grandkid? Do you think that this shows love? Well, it does to me, for me, but probably not, right? But what do we do to say someone belongs? Buy him a quad. Anybody want to buy me a quad? I like that. Buy him a quad. Oh, that's good. Did you hear that, Karen? Leroy and I could use a quad. The shovel will actually, maybe I'll give it to Mackie, or maybe I'll give it to Leroy as an inheritance to show them that they belong. But what does it mean for you to belong? Imagine with me for a moment a place where you belong. I think it's a place where we feel safe. Do you have a place like that? Where you feel safe. In other words, you know there's comfort in being accepted just the way you are. You're not afraid of judgment. You're not afraid of rejection. If you fail, it's okay. We can get picked up again. Imagine a place where you feel seen and understood. Where people actually listen and listen to you. Imagine a place where you experience connection. You have meaningful relationships, and Emmanuel, we try to provide this, and whether it's small groups, whether it's there's several ministries on the card, if you got one when you came in, look at those. Those are places that we try to provide to create this connection. I think it's a place where you feel a sense of purpose. You have a place like that? You mean something. You matter. You're a part of something that matters. You can bring the gifts and abilities that you have and use them. That's the place, I think, where we belong. I think a place where we belong means you're also uplifted. There's joy around you. There's warmth. You can't wait to go back to it. You don't want to ever leave it. You're surrounded by people who just lift you up. Does anybody here have people that just encourage them? Aren't those the people that we like to be around? We are. The opposite, we don't. But the joyous people, we do. I've never met a person who is generous and joyous who isn't happy. I think that's part of a place where we belong. God's vision for us this morning says this is Emmanuel. So we have to look and say, is this Emmanuel? So what does God say? What does he say about belonging? What in his word does he tell us? This morning we have the passage that was read for us in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and then on to chapter 4. So let's look for a few moments at this passage. The first thing that God seems to say about belonging here is that you actually belong. God comes to us and tells us this morning, you belong. Notice verse 26 and 27. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is no male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. You belong. Let me say this. God says this. Belonging begins with him. Okay? You want a place you belong? Belonging begins with God. Our relationship with God. How would you finish this sentence? If I want to be a good Christian, I must what? You don't have to yell this one up. If I want to be a good Christian, I must what? You know, how you finish this sentence is incredibly critical. This was the challenge to the church in Galatia, who this letter was written to. They were asked that question. They were actually told, if you read in chapter 1 and 2, we don't have time today, and 3, they were told, you are not enough just on the grace of Jesus Christ. You have to do something. You have to be more. You have to apply the Sabbath rules. You have to follow the holy days. You have to have circumcision to be saved. Can you imagine that? There's more. But what do we do as a church sometimes? Do we ever tell people that the grace of God is not enough to be saved, that you actually have to do something, that you have to show up to meetings, that you have to follow this rule or that rule or be this way or dress this way? I think we do at times, don't we? And Paul says, stop that. All you need is the grace of Jesus Christ and accept it. Christ is enough. Christ is enough. And here he simply wants to remind us to live surrendered and simply accept and live out of the grace of Jesus Christ. I am saved by believing, not achieving. Let this sink down for a minute. I am saved by believing in Jesus Christ, not achieving. It starts with simple acceptance of what Christ has done for us through his blood on the cross and resurrection. You are free. You are free. This is what Paul's trying to get us to understand. You're free. There's a lot of language in Galatians that talks about slavery and freedom. And for us, probably, we don't fully understand slavery. So maybe we don't fully understand freedom because we may not experience it. But he says, you're a slave to the law. In other words, you had to do everything the law said to be accepted by God. And Paul says, stop. Jesus has come. He has taken care of that. You are free. So why are you going back to be a slave? Is what Paul is suggesting. He says, you belong to God. He says to us, we belong to God through Jesus Christ. You belong. You belong. In Christ Jesus, it says here, you are all children of God through faith, verse 26. In other words, faith, it's that belief that Jesus Christ died for me. It's that belief that Jesus Christ died for me and my sins. It's that Jesus Christ not only died for me and my sins, but he rose again from the dead. And he brought us up with us, having victory over the sins and all their consequence. You are free. Why do you let your sins pull you back? You're free. He also says here in verse 27, If you were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. If you were baptized into Christ, you have clothed yourself with Christ. In other words, baptism is a symbol. It's a picture of an outward action of your belief that Jesus Christ has saved you. That's why we get baptized. That's why the symbol is there. It's for us to cement in our minds physically what just happened. That Jesus Christ has saved us. Now, maybe a challenge for us this morning, perhaps, is that we do not believe that. We don't understand that Jesus Christ has died for me personally. Even though I walked away from him, wanted to be God, wanted to be the center of my life, and Jesus said, that's not the way it works. So I'm going to die for you. I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your life over to me, and I'll help you make sense of life, and I'll help you make sense of eternity. And maybe today is the day where you make that decision. Maybe today is the day where you make that decision to show it by being baptized and walking down that way. Paul reminds the Galatian church, you are not enough, but Christ is enough. And if Christ is enough, then Christ in me is enough. Oh, such relief, such freedom. This means, although I am not perfect, I can stop trying to be perfect and accept that Jesus says, Todd, you are perfect in me. How many of us are trying to live up to someone's approval? How's that working for you? I think a lot of us struggle with that. What do you do that is not good enough? What does not measure up to other people's standards? In our house, we have a dishwasher. When my kids were growing up, we used the dishwasher. But in our house, Todd thinks the way the dishwasher should operate and should be packed is law. You can laugh. Like, do you live in a house that has that? So my kids, my poor kids, my poor wife, you know, they will put things to the dishwasher and I'll always rearrange it. They're not enough. It's not good enough. The way they do it doesn't measure up to the standard because the standard is me. And only I can live up to that standard. And even that, do you have anything within your life that has a standard that you don't measure up to? You know, if you have relationships, you quickly learn what standards are and that you probably don't measure up. You know, what is it for you? Is it how you fold clothes? Is it how you cook food? Is it how you clean? Oh, I grew up cleaning the bathroom. My mom, God bless her soul, you know, would have to come after me and just redo it. And Todd, come on, come on. You know, what else is it in your house? Is it, were you when you learned to color, did you color in the lines? Because in school they teach you color in the lines. I'm not good at coloring in the lines. When I first started preaching, the person who taught me made me write out word for word my entire manuscript. It killed me. I couldn't live up to that expectation. Whose expectations are you trying to live up to? Jesus is the dishwasher and says to us, just put the dishes in, I'll clean them. That's not written in the Bible. That's in the book of Todd. In Jesus Christ, do we get it now? In Jesus Christ, we belong. In Jesus Christ, we belong. Now that's a start. Number two, seems to say here, so in Jesus Christ, you belong. Now he's going to stretch us. In Jesus Christ, we belong. Okay? Galatians 3:27 says this, For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Then he goes into 28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We belong together. How come he didn't say, woo, okay. You don't have to. I can't force you to do that. We have to believe it or not. We are to use our freedom, God says here, to help others and find freedom and be free. It starts with you. It ends with we. Catch that? It starts with you, but it ends with we. It's both. Yes, we need to belong, which is Christ's sacrifice to me. But there's a lot of you belongings. And now he says it's time to grow up. It's time to move on. And now it's we. What have you done this week to help someone else learn that they belong? That's what he's asking here. You want to belong? Help someone else belong. You know what happens when we each try to help each other belong? What do you think happens? We belong. It's not about me anymore. That's what marriage is about. That's what relationships are about. It's not about me anymore. If I'm here to meet your need and you're here to meet my needs, whose needs aren't being met? We need you belong, but we're here to also we belong. When we belong, we follow Christ. And that's our call to pick up our cross and sacrifice. That's what we belong is. And so our vision, God is calling us to, okay, let's come. We're going to grow together, absolutely. I love you so much, but let's journey this together. We were made to belong. I think if you stay and you belong so much, you actually become selfish. If you come here just for you to belong, it ends up in just you wanting things. When we belong, we follow Christ, pick up our cross, and we sacrifice. We were made to we belong. But we need to you belong with Christ before and in order so we can belong. Did I confuse you yet? You need to belong. You need to understand that Christ has done for you and continue to grow in it. So then you can operate out of that. And then comes the we belong. You belong and we belong and grow at the same time. Chapter 5, verse 13 says in Galatians a little bit later, Paul says this, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. In love. Jesus came to unite, not to divide. Verse 28 says this, all are one in Christ. And then he goes through this list. So let's look at this list for a minute. Verse 28, neither Jew nor Gentile. Again, he's talking to Jewish Christians. And for the Jews, Gentiles were not held as in high regard. Gentiles meaning anybody else that was not a Jew. In fact, it is said that religious Jewish leaders, Pharisees, would pray every morning this blessings. And it's known as, I'm gonna massacre the Jewish words, but Berkat Hashkar. And what it was a set of blessings recited in the morning. And one of those blessings actually said this as they prayed it to God. The Pharisee would pray, I thank God that I am not a Jew, or I am a Jew, not a Gentile. I am a man, not a woman. I am a free man and not a slave. That was a morning prayer when this was written. So Paul comes along and says, no more. In Jesus Christ, we are all the same. We are one. There is nothing that divides us. Nor Jew, nor Gentile. One of the reasons I had asked my friend, Pastor David Lee, to come up and share is you should get to know him and his family. And actually, they're part of a group of Koreans who were a part of a church in South Korea before they came here. And it's called Samhill Church. And they agreed to live together as a community. And they came to Canada as a community. So they actually live together. They're not all related other than in Christ. I don't think. David can correct me later. But they came to Canada to share Jesus with Canada. God has seen fit to bring them to be a part of our church family. But a year and a bit ago, they actually started a worship service down below and then decided, you know what? We're going to be part of Emmanuel. Think about this for a second. There is no Jew or Gentile. There's no separation. There's no cultural difference in Christ. Our brothers and sisters who are here from South Korea want to show us, want to lead us in understanding this truth, that we belong. And so they're here. You wonder if God is really doing this vision that he set before us? Look what he's doing. He brought them here. He's brought many cultures here. God's already accomplishing the vision. And he says, let's get a part of it, Emmanuel. So awesome. Living it out. God is at work. But not only that, he says in verse 29, no slave nor free. Slaves were considered only pieces of property back in the day. They were given, and now, according to Christ, they're given a status. They belong. They're given identity. They belong. They matter. Or male or female, verse 29. In the days of Rome, women were considered second citizens. They were kept confined and often disrespected. And in fact, they were not much more than a slave. Husbands could do whatever they wanted with them. Men could do whatever they wanted with them. They were not valued. And so when Paul comes along, when Christ comes along and says, you matter. There's no difference now before me. You are valued. You belong. What he's saying is, I'm bringing you value and I'm bringing you back being cherished and you're esteemed and you're treasured like you were when I created you male and female in the image of God. And I said it was very good. Genesis 1:27. You belong. We belong. What this reminds me of is that we all start at the same place as sinners before the grace of God, redeemed by the cross of God, given his spirit to live out the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when I look at every one of you, I see that. How do we move forward? Do you see people like that? Do you look around and say that everyone you see actually belongs to God just as much as I do? Because that's where it starts. But do you see it and do you treat them that way? How do you treat them? We are all sons of God, verse 28. We are all heirs with God. We don't have time to look through all of this. We are all heirs with God. In other words, there's spiritual blessings. There's inheritance. And we all have it together in Christ. Move on to the last point, simply is, what is it that we actually have in Christ? What do we have in Christ? You see a list there. Chapter 4, verse 7, first things. It really talks about this concept called adoption. Adoption. Adoption actually allows us to grow up. Chapter 4, verse 1 says this, what I'm saying is that as long as there's an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time sent by the father. In Roman world, the children of wealthy people were cared for actually by the slaves. Did you know that? No matter what his or her father did, they were still a child. And as a child, they were under the supervision of a servant. So they had nothing other than a name. In fact, the child himself was not much different than a servant who guarded him or her. The servant was commanded by the master of the house, and the child was commanded by the servant. And when Christ comes along and says, you belong, he frees the child to become an adult. And he says, now you get everything that I have. So what adoption did is God allowed us to grow up. But God also redeemed us. Verse 4 and 5 says this: But when at the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. God sent Jesus to redeem, in other words, to pay a price to bring us back to him when the time was ready. Apparently, back in the Roman day, a man could purchase a slave in any Roman city, and there were about 60 million slaves in the empire. And that man could either free the slave or keep them. Jesus came to set us free. He redeemed us. He purchased us to set us free. So don't go back being a slave. Live in freedom. But adoption also means that God gave us his son, gave us the status of a son and gave us the status of an heir, meaning we have everything the Father has. The son has a father. The servant has a master who tells them what to do. We have a father. It's cool. He uses the word Abba Father here. Abba is the Aramaic for Papa. We have a relationship. We don't have a master. The son obeys out of love. The servant obeys out of fear. The son is rich. The servant is poor. The son has a future. The servant does not. We are sons, daughters. This past summer, when Kyle was away on sabbatical, we had several speakers. Do any of you remember Carlos Carrion? Carlos, Spanish pastor, he leads a ministry called Migrant Workers. And he's been doing it, my goodness, for over 15 years or so now. I have the privilege of being a part of this ministry. And basically, it is having individuals who are looking for work coming from Mexico and Guatemala to Canada just to earn a living. And they send their money back. It's often dads or sons that come. And they make, and then they send. And they make, and then they send. And they're here. Many of them are here. They don't experience the birth of their children because they're here for 4 or 5 years. They miss out on so many things. And so Carlos, through God, laid on his heart and others to start a ministry to minister to these individuals because they need to know that they belong. And so throughout the year, while they are here, Carlos and the team who help Carlos take them back and take the migrant workers back and forth from the airport, take them to doctors and dentists, go to their homes where they live at the greenhouses and help them in whatever they can. All sorts of things, whatever is needed. They host events. They help them learn how to live in Canada. They even help them do their taxes. It's wild, this ministry and what it's doing. The goal is to love the workers and within that love, share Jesus. The vision is to love the workers, within that love, share Jesus, and have those individuals respond to this love of Jesus and go back to their communities in Guatemala and in Mexico. Many of in places where no one else gets to go. You can't get there. They're difficult. So during one of these times, this past Easter, we had a dinner. And as we were helping out at the dinner, as Carlos often does, again, all of the individuals that are helping and serving and being a part throughout the year, we all come together and put on a dinner. And these individuals have been blessed by this love, by this belonging. And during this dinner, Carlos will always share about Jesus, just what we've heard, that you can be one in Jesus, that you belong in Jesus. Here's a picture of them. This is the Easter dinner. And as he shares this, he says, who doesn't belong but wants to belong? Who wants to give their heart to Jesus? And as we're watching this, I'm always amazed because I'm not an evangelist, but Carlos is. And as I was watching cleaning dishes in the kitchen, I looked out and I saw one gentleman put his hand up and walk to the front. He wanted to take off his sin clothes and put on the God clothes. And as he did, and he's emotional and tearing up, he's there. I put my head down, I'm scrubbing some cups, I put it back up, and I see another guy put his hand up and walk up. Then all of a sudden, I look over at another table, and I see one person put their hand up, and they run to the front. They can't wait to get there. They so want to belong. You know, it's those times where we just desperately need the help of Jesus, and then he answers us. Isn't that like the greatest place ever? And then number 4 puts his hand up. And then number 5 puts his hand up. And 6 and 7. We invited 120 men to this event. And 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13. And then the 25th person ran up to the front. The 25th person wanted to belong. And at that moment they did. Forever to be changed. Think about this for a second. What was it like when you first belonged? That's the joy they have. But it's not just that. Not only do they know they belong, but they're going to take that belonging to their families, 25 families. They're going to take that belonging to all their communities, 25 communities. This is how God works. When you belong, when we belong, and we live out in that belonging. Emmanuel, it's time to grow up. It's time to live out our belonging. It's time to discover Emmanuel is a church where you belong, joining with God to open doors and bring the hope of Jesus as he makes everything new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for understanding, for creating us for a need to belong, creating us in relationship with you. And Lord, we walked away from that. We said, Lord, we don't want to belong. We want to be boss. We want to rule. We want to be God. And so we walked away willingly. We chose. And you call that sin. And you said there's consequences. If we want to do that, then we can't come back. There's no way to come back. And yet this morning, Lord, we rejoice that there actually is a way, and it's through you, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and who rose again, who broke the power of sin, who broke the power of death, and who gives us this relationship back that we got rid of. And it's all you're doing. Thank you. Lord, I pray for each one of us here. Help us to see your love greater than our circumstance. Help us to understand that when we feel we're all alone and we don't belong or we're hurting or struggling, that we would look back on your presence with us, your desire for us, your love for us, and that we would be reminded that you belong, we belong. That you bring us close. Don't let us understand, don't let us believe that lie. And Lord, help us to do that for each other here. Please. Father, I think of those who, in our world, who need this hope. Lord, I think of, as you brought to my mind, the different cultures we have in Canada, we have in our own church family, and the challenges that are there. Lord, I lift up our brothers and sisters who need wisdom, who need comfort, who need care, who need to belong. And Father, there are many. There are many in our schools, there are many in our camps, there are many in our churches, our neighbors. Lord, may they belong. May you open up doors so we can help them understand this beauty of what it means to belong and be that vessel like you want us to. We thank you all in the name of Jesus Christ, who we have everything, who has given life, who has put us all on the same level. In your name we pray and praise you. Amen.